DMA Roberts will be back in the host chair next week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Alan Montecelio.
Cable Community Radio and Friends of Clark County are proud to co-sponsor an evening of fun and food Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Vancouver, Washington. The evening will feature live music by Dan Weber, a dinner provided by Chef Sebastian Carosi, speakers talking about Clark County's smart growth plans, and local farmers on the current challenges and rewards of farming in Clark County. Again, that's an evening of fun and food, Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 4505 East 18th Street in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at cable.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. as we remember the late, great Julie Bernard, who hosted KABU's Art Focus program for 23 years.
The people that I'm talking to, I'm approaching them the same way that I feel an ordinary listener would. I'm hoping that I'm asking the questions that an ordinary person might ask going into the gallery and looking at the work. I try to ask what that person might ask.
Remembering Julie Bernard, this Friday at 11 a.m. Cezanne,
Cezanne. Original father of cubism.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Beth Kirshen, an artist with work up at Portland International Airport, and Greta Blaylock, who is the art administrator for the Port of Portland. Thanks for coming into KABU.
Thanks, Joseph,
for having us.
So, Beth, your work is up in Concourse B, which is the Alaska Airlines area.
Yeah.
And you have three pieces, three photo collages about Portland, and then one very big photo collage. And there's a video about how you made your stuff. So people are passing by all the time. These are real travelers, you know, in a hurry. But we watched and they stopped and looked and took pictures. So just tell us about the pictures they were taking pictures of.
I do these individual photos of different buildings and different icons of Portland, and I put them into a scene.
Mm-hmm. Your day job, you're a full-time artist, and you make a lot of postcards and things that sell, and that's your income. So you're taking pictures of iconic Portland scenes, selling them commercially. But then when you do this work, it's a lot more involved, and this is more like gallery work.
Right, right. Yeah, so I'm always juggling my time between sort of the retail line of cards and a tote bag and different sort of gift store items.
Mm-hmm,
and
like stuff you'd see in Powell's.
Right, right. Exactly. And then I leverage the same sourced photographs to build more involved work for that's more fine art work. Mm-hmm. I show at galleries and now at the airport.
How many people come through the airport in a year?
Well, we have 16 million currently, and mm-hmm. we're growing by about a million a year, which is incredible.
And do you know how long they linger in front of the art?
I don't know how long they're in front of the art, but the average dwell time post-security, so after they get through TSA, it's 90 minutes. So there they visit shops and restaurants, and they also look at the art. So the art is a nice opportunity for them to take a break and see something that's not pushing information at them like an advertisement, but just take a break and learn about the area and see our region's best work.
Mm. So you have different types of people, right? You have the business travelers who are here like mm-hmm. every so often,
right.
And then the kind of once a year tourist type people.
Right. We have everything. We have a large percentage of our travelers are business travelers, so they're frequent flyers. So it's nice that our exhibits change out because it keeps the space fresh. And then we also have leisure travelers, people with children. So our demographic is very wide, and we try to bring in artwork that relates to everyone, is something mm-hmm. for everyone.
How did you get hold of Beth then?
Beth participated in a print show that we had about 3 years ago down on A, on the concourse.
Yep.
Yeah, on the cases mm-hmm. on A. And I was really impressed with her work, and we've stayed in touch. I stay in touch with all the artists that I work with, and I'm out in the community looking at artwork at galleries, and people come to me as well with proposals. And I talk to her about doing a larger scale piece. And it just so happened that she had gotten a grant from RAC to take a course in learning how to do large-scale print working. Mm-hmm. So it just meshed perfectly. And her work is, she uses iconic images of Portland. So to me, that educates people that aren't from our area about our area, what these signs mean, you know, how old they are, where they came from, and how important they are to us. But also for the people that are from this area, it just instills a sense of pride. Mm-hmm. And I like to create exhibits that, like I said, that relate, that are relative, and they relate to the people in the space.
So this technique you're using, Beth, it's a kind of printing on plastic?
I use two different techniques in the exhibit, and one is a printmaking technique where I transfer the images to a plate, ink up the plate, and run it through an etching press, and those are the smaller pieces. And then the big piece, which is about 30 feet wide, there I'm actually just printing my photographic scenes directly to plexiglass and another sort of plastic material for the background called Sintra. But the main component that's more noticeable is the plexiglass mm-hmm. that I'm printing directly on.
So this is a huge black and white image of, in the middle is all several of the bridges, all kind of manipulated, turned around, different perspectives. Left side is things from the east, right side things from the west side. And then you've got this sticking out layer of clear plastic, which I thought was to keep people's hands off, but it's actually... The printing is on that for part of the imagery. So you have the white background that you print on is one kind of plastic, and then this plexiglass is another.
Is the yeah?
And this That's is exactly. a technique. What's it called?
Well, it's actually just it's really just large format printing. There's these really cool printers that can print digitally, and it's printed digitally, and you can print directly onto. Almost any kind of material, any kind of plastic, plexi, wood, metal.
Mm-hmm. What's the technical way where you went through the etching press?
That is, there's a bunch of different names for it. Even just straight up etching is accurate. But the actual plate, I call it a polymer photogravure. And it's a polymer-based plate, a plastic that is light sensitive. So anything you expose to it, it will take on that image, and mm-hmm. you can etch it from there.
Right. So you went out to make the big one, you had to rent a different camera and re-photograph things?
The exhibit is so big that, and the space was so big that although I have a library of photos of Portland, I really needed higher resolution photos for that. So yeah, I rented a 50 megapixel camera and went around and shot Portland again.
Mm-hmm. So you're out on the riverbanks trying to get the bridges. Tell me, I'm fascinated. There's a picture of the Tillicum Crossing looking south. And so yes. behind it, you can see the Ross Island Bridge and Ross Island, the tip, the northernmost tip. Then in the image, the next bridge back is another image from downtown, but you're looking north.
Right.
And then the other one
that
it goes.
Yeah.
The last one is St. John's. The second last one is Fremont. So they're all looking north. Why did you do that?
I think really it was where I could get the best angle shot, where I could see the whole bridge. With all my images that I take, I try to take the whole building or the whole bridge, or because when I'm building these scenes, I'm literally kind of reproducing a city, and so I want to make sure that the entire object is, you know, photographed. Mm-hmm. So really, it's all about just the best angle for getting the whole bridge in. That's really the basics of it. There's not any other deeper meaning behind it. It's just trying to really just photograph the whole building, or the whole bridge. The Fremont Bridge actually was taken, I was facing south.
Oh, okay.
In that particular one. Mm-hmm. It's where you can find a good spot mm-hmm. to get that best angle.
So if you go up to the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall and get the marquee, do you go around the whole building and photograph everything?
Yeah, I try to take it from every angle mm-hmm. that makes sense. And there's trees in the way and different things, so it just helps to take it from different angles. And sometimes, depending on the angle, if a tree or a car is in the way, I can actually get rid of that by shooting from a different angle.
And so do you stitch images together to get one perspective?
Yes.
On one building?
Yeah. Especially really, really tall, big building. I'd shoot with a wide angle lens, but sometimes I need to literally take 2 to 4 photos of a building or a bridge and then stitch it together to get the whole object in mm-hmm. one frame.
Is this all Photoshop?
Yes.
That's your go-to tool?
Yes.
So then you're building up sort of collages, you know, there's the Voodoo Donut building and then a statue or other buildings, you know, a Pioneer Courthouse. You just sort of put them one in front of the other, or is there a different technique?
When I take the photo and know I want to use that object, I'll knock out the background. There is a lot of just playing around with, it's almost like a giant puzzle. And what looks better together, what stitches better together, what's good in front, behind. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of playing perspective. So even though the scene isn't a real scene, you know, in real life, and there is sort of a surrealness to my work because of that, but there's still a play with perspective. Mm-hmm. So there's adjusting spatially and size and to make sense, even mm-hmm. though it's not real.
So if you have two buildings with square windows next to each other, do you try and pick a vanishing point for both of them, or is each one individual? When you work with perspective, is it just per building?
I think it really ends up being the set of buildings together and making sure that they all sort of make sense, even mm-hmm. even if it's not too perfect scale, it still visually makes sense in terms of the perspective. So I think it's definitely about the relationship with the different objects with each other mm-hmm. versus one by one building.
What do you hope people, travelers, see? Because you made this specifically for the airport, you know, which is basically strangers. What do you hope they take away from this big piece?
That's a good question. I think it really is a celebration of Portland and how it is really at this very moment, and kind of it's kind of about what all the hype is about, since there seems to be, you know, a lot of excitement about Portland and the TV show and the city's changing really quickly. And so I feel like I've kind of captured what it is right now, or maybe even like 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like a snapshot of a current memory and what our culture is about and how our cityscape reflects our culture mm-hmm. now at this moment.
But you're not going to take pictures of modern buildings, like buildings that are under 5 years old?
You know, that's a good question. Those buildings at the moment are so new. They don't feel like they reflect the Portland to me yet. Mm-hmm. So at this moment, not so much. I am working on a body of work though that is we'll see how it comes out, but how there's kind of a change and a flux in Portland. So I actually have been photographing some of the newer buildings and some of the construction, mm-hmm. and I'm working on just juxtapositioning the old with the new in a slightly different way than what I'm doing with these scenes. But I am exploring that idea, because the change is so dramatic, I can't help but explore that idea. And I know Portland so well now from photographing it for 7 years that it's really a shock to my eyes to see all this change. So yeah, I've been photographing it and kind of exploring it.
So are you taking pictures of apartment buildings, which seem to be the commonest new type of building?
Yeah, that is kind of really what's being built, apartment buildings, condo buildings. And actually what I read lately is it's mostly apartments. There's not really that many condos, but in downtown there seems to be some new tower apartment buildings, and then on the east side and southeast, it's, you know, the 4 to 6 to 8 story apartment buildings. Yeah.
You fond of them?
Not so much. I know we need housing and apartments. When I moved here 8 years ago, there was hardly any apartments available. I'm not against development, but a lot of them don't really fit the neighborhood that they're in visually. Also, a lot of them are luxury apartments, so hard for a lot of people to afford them. And there's some that are nicely designed. Some are just really basic. Again, I wish there was more thought about fitting into the neighborhood and the volume and placement. There seems to be, you know, areas where there's just huge concentration. Mm-hmm. And there's no thought about traffic and, you know, the whole neighborhood and how it affects the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really love about Beth's piece that's very strong is that it really evokes this sense of nostalgia about our present day. So it makes you stop and appreciate what we have right now and appreciate why this city is so special and what's drawing all these people to the city. And it's sort of a very mild warning about, let's pay attention and hang on to these things or they could go away. And so the plexi on the front is a lighter gray. It almost has a feeling of ghostliness and memory. It's about that message of let's appreciate what we have today, because it's changing really quickly. And if we're not aware and in control of that change, it could go away. It could be lost.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Beth Kirshen, a photographer who has an exhibit called Portland East Meets West on now at the Portland International Airport Concourse B, and Greta Blaylock, the art administrator for the Port of Portland. Greta, you're kind of like a curator for the whole port, so you've got art everywhere in the airport,
near
the port buildings. You've got a $9 million collection somewhere.
Right. We do. The port owns a permanent collection. It's in our port headquarters and also scattered throughout the airport and along Airport Way. You've probably seen the Deborah Butterfield horses on Airport Way. So we have a permanent collection to care for that we're very proud of. And then we have the rotating exhibits like Beth's. Mm-hmm. We have two types of rotating exhibits. We have several exhibits where we take an artist's existing work and we exhibit that for 6 months. And then we have site-specific exhibits where we invite emerging artists in to create work specifically for our space. And because that work takes more time to create, at least for our space, it's up for 1 year to 18 months.
Mm-hmm. So how long will Beth's piece be up?
It'll be up for 1 year.
So there's another one-year piece around the corner in Concourse A. It's called Convergence.
Right.
And it's two pieces. It's a painting by Lucinda Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lee Immonen was given this brief to kind of reflect that or respond to it. And the two pieces are opposite each other, high up as you come down an escalator.
Right.
So Parker's, is it an acrylic painting?
It is.
Yeah, it's sort of mountains with clouds, kind of abstract.
Right, it's an abstract landscape. And her style of painting is very sculptural. And we borrowed that piece, it's called Sunshine Root. And then Lee Immonen built a sculpture in response to her work. And his piece, if you see it, it's wood and wood veneer. And it's very curvy and fluid, like the cloud that she has above her mountain, and that her mountain is very sculptural and angular, and behind his curving wood, he has these darker plywood pieces that also reflect her mountainous landscape.
Mm-hmm. So his piece is probably 25 feet
it's
wide as well.
23 feet, yeah.
Okay, and it's like wood veneer that's mm-hmm. all curvy and, you know, like a furniture maker would use.
Right.
And it kind of unrolls from a log, from a cylinder, mm-hmm. and it ends up as a cube, you know, a wooden box.
A dovetail joint box, right.
So
either way, it's about natural resources in our area and how important timber is in the area. And you can go from either the log working to the right and look at it as going from natural resources to the finished product. Or if you look at it in reverse, it's about recycling and going from the finished product and back to nature.
When people come through this airport, you know, are they getting a little environmental message, or what kind of message do you think your office is putting out?
We're trying to reflect the values of the region. That particular piece, both of their pieces, speak to the environment and how important and how beautiful our landscape is here and how important it is to preserve it. Beth's work also is about preservation, and it's about the character of our region. And then further down Concourse A, we've got Michael Hoya's work. It's an exhibit called Angels Passing, and it's about diversity and individual strengths.
Mm-hmm. When you look at Michael Hoya's work, it's sort of wooden cabinets with glass fronts, like mm-hmm. you'd see in a school.
Mm-hmm.
So are these cabinets host other art at times?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So his work is, they look like prints that are pinned up, and they're in groups of four.
Right.
So just tell us what it's called, Angels Passing. Like, who are the angels? Who are these people?
Well, they're everyday people. It's actually people from his portfolio that he sketched and photographed that were in his neighborhood. And these people are a mix. So it's a very broad range of diversity is represented in his work. And I really like it, and I wanted it for the airport because it's these characters on just a plain white background. And Michael is also a children's author, so character is very important to him. And I think that these pieces represent everyone in the airport, because the airport is a facility that everyone uses, and also people are out of context. You look at someone, you don't know their past or their future. You don't know where they're headed. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just removed from context, and these characters are represented in that way.
Mm-hmm. So these are like individuals, some pairs of people, and they just look like cool people from a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at them again, then they're not necessarily cool, and you realize, man, maybe I'm just projecting, you know, because some of them are cool, and then you think maybe they all are. Why are they here?
Right.
And you say he went out and he mixes up photography, drawing,
mm-hmm.
and what are the methods does he use?
Right. Michael uses photography, illustration, some painting, digital art, and that's another interesting feature of his work, because you see it and you're not really sure what it is, and so you have to move in close and take a good look, and it's a mix of different styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the skateboard guy has a face. He looks like mm-hmm. a sort of slightly fuzzy video game character.
Right,
you know,
right.
Slightly kind of doll-like.
And some are just line drawing, mm-hmm. and then some are more realistic, right? But exactly what you were saying before, you know, you saw them as these cool people. Why did you think they were cool? You know, what are you projecting? And I think it's a good opportunity for people to look at this diverse array of characters and examine what they do project when they don't know anything about someone, but because of what they're wearing or what they're carrying or what preconceptions they may have, why do they think that?
Mm-hmm. Is there a phone number on that work that people can listen to an explanation?
There's not, but there's a website. Michael has a website specifically about his work. And all of these exhibits can be seen on our art blog. So it's a PDX art blog. And if you go to flypdx.com, in the left-hand column, look for art and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And you just click on there and it'll take you to the blog.
But the way we experienced the art was kind of perfect because you were there to explain everything in 2 minutes. Someone just trundling through the airport, you think it's best they get on their phone and look at the website?
Well, I think they can appreciate it on many levels, and this is what I try to do with the exhibits. People don't come to the airport to see artwork. It's just a nice surprise when they do. And I think while we were there today, you saw several people taking photographs. And they don't come to the airport expecting to see art, especially that they want to stop and take photographs of. But when they do, they can see it in passing. If they're in a hurry, everyone has their own itinerary and their own agenda. But if they stop and look at it and they want to delve deeper, then they can go to the artist's website. They can read the signage at the exhibit and learn more about it. Like Beth's piece is just interesting if you're just passing. But along with that piece, there's also a video of her talking about her work. So you can spend 3 seconds walking by and appreciate it for something different and changing. Or you can stop and spend 10 minutes there or longer.
Mm-hmm. Beth, what's going to happen to the work when it's done? When the time is up?
That's a good question. The frame pieces I can easily use in a show. But the larger 30-foot piece, it's
a good question. You're going to roll it up and put it under your bed?
Hopefully it'll fit in my garage, or hopefully find a home where someone has a huge foyer that,
Who owns it?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was commissioned by the airport.
Correct.
So doesn't the airport, give you money?
Yes. Yeah.
But they don't buy it.
They're not outright buying it.
We don't buy site-specific work. We pay the artist a small honorarium, and that's for fabrication and materials and to help them build the piece. Chuck Gumpert had a piece in the North Ticket Lobby for a while, and it was it's 15 feet by 11 feet, a very large painting. And we actually had to frame it up in the ticket lobby and put it up. And when it came down, now it's at Gallery 903. It's beautiful, but not many people have a wall that big. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with it, right?
It's in a gallery for sale or just?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
Yeah, Gallery 903.
So the artists will sell it however they can.
They're free to do whatever they want with
it. What are you going to do with this big thing?
That's a good question. I'm praying and hoping that someone that has a huge foyer, their company, they want to represent Portland, will see it in the airport and contact me.
Well, that's possible.
I've had of one of the condo buildings that are going up, maybe.
Right, right, exactly. And I have had some people suggest that I should reach out, to people and look for, but it's a lot of work to find a place that has the space, and actually you don't want to trespass,
what do you think you'd sell it for?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Because your postcards go for $2.50 in PALs.
Right.
Which is a lot for a postcard.
Well, so they're, what do you think? Yeah, local made.
Yeah.
Artist cards. So.
So what do you think this big piece is worth?
To
a corporation?
I really would have to think about the time, that I put into it and, I mean, a lot of pieces that size do go for around $20,000 easily.
Mm-hmm.
And in different markets, even more than that. But
right. It's interesting because it's ready made, and it's been in a public space. So it's kind of passed the test of, people touching it and all that.
Right.
And it's very Portland. I just wonder, is the art that you commission at the airport, does it go on to a second life?
Yes. You'd be surprised how much art sells in the airport. We don't facilitate sales and we don't promote it.
Mm-hmm.
But people passing through the airport see art all the time. They want to buy and they contact the artist directly. and they purchase it from the artist. Jill McVarish, for instance, was on Concourse E for 6 months. Every piece in her exhibit sold. So you just never know. It's a wonderful economic stimulus for artists. It speaks to me about what people like. So we have this broad range of passengers in the airport, and if you have an exhibit where everything sells, I mean, that tells me, wow, people really like this. That helps me gauge what art to bring into the airport, not through sales. I don't think about it like, well, what's going to sell best? But when people vote with their dollars, it's a pretty good indication that they feel strongly about that.
I did have my work up in those cases 3 mm-hmm. years ago, and I got a great response of all levels. I sold some pieces, and I got contacted about doing work for, you know, commissions and that sort of thing. And I got a really good response for just having a few prints up in the cases mm-hmm. that you saw.
It sounds like a accelerated version of Rack. You know, their outdoor art. Things move quicker and things sell. Mm.
Maybe it's because people who don't normally go to the galleries, it's a more accessible space. I guess, I mean, it is post-security, so it's not that accessible. You have to be ticketed to see mm-hmm. the work. But it's a broader range of people, I think, than those that normally go to galleries. Certainly a lot of people in our space do visit galleries regularly, but we reach people who don't as well.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Beth Kirshen, a photographer who has an exhibit called Portland East Meets West on now at Portland International Airport, Concourse B, and Greta Blaylock, who's the art administrator for the Port of Portland. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Smoldering Fires, produced by Passinart. The play runs from March 11th through April 10th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland. Smoldering Fires explores how to apply the ideas and struggles of the civil rights movement to contemporary city life through the point of view of two young friends who differ in temperament and approach. Again, that's Smoldering Fires, March 11th through April 10th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center.